Hello and welcome to another You May or May Not Like It board game edition. Today we are going to talk about Lost Cities on Cosmos Games. We're now, FYI, this is the card game, not the board game. So there are two different games here. So this is going to be the two-player card game. I'm your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Theory. And we're here with Mike. You can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. You can find us on Instagram at instagram.com/reviewandroast or / Star Wars Tabletop. And, where else are we at? We on Friendster still?
Yep.
Yeah,
MySpace. The Comic Roast at Instagram.
Yeah, that too.
It's back up and running, along with my own personal Instagram, so new stuff's up there. Put like 5 new posts up in the last 2 days.
What?
I've been rocking the Twitter the last couple days as well, trying to get back on track with all that stuff.
I've been trying to rock the Mastodon.
I've been messing with the Twitter lately. I need to get on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to get on a lot of stuff. But I just feel like I'm spending all my time in this chair, being your guys' host for the week.
Well, like I said, our one episode got a substantial amount of downloads, so I'm trying to boost the rest of them if possible.
All right, so for anyone not familiar with Lost Cities, it is it's a card game. You have 5 colors of cards, 5 sets more or less. You have 2 through 10, and then you have 3 handshakes, is what at least that's what we call them, right? Isn't that what they are?
Yeah, they're wager cards.
Wagers,
technically.
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically, it's I guess Mike probably put it the best earlier. It's basically solitaire with 2 players. You know, everyone gets dealt 8 cards. Now this is the real kick in the pants for this game, is you have to play a card before you draw a card. So it's super frustrating when you finally decide, okay, I've been hanging on to this card for 12 turns now. I'm just going to go ahead and put it down. Then you draw the card you needed, and now you're screwed. Anywho, basically, you start with every time you want to explore a route, which are the different colors, you put a card down on your side of the table, whether it be a number or a handshake. Now, we'll call them wagers because that's what they are. The wagers are multipliers for the end of, basically for the scoring round. If you have 1, it's times 2. 2 is times 3. 3 is times 4. So it can be pretty beneficial to have these out, because other than that, you're just playing your numbered cards, and those have to be played in numerical order. So 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way through 10. Sounds simple, but when you start with 8 cards and you have, let's say, a wager and a 7, and that's all you have for that color, you kind of want to open it. See, and this is the part I've left out. Once you put a card down, automatic negative 20 points for that color.
Correct. Because that's how much the route costs.
Correct. So, now, and this is also the bigger kick in the pants, because those multipliers I was talking about, when you have the wager cards, that multiplies your negatives as well. So if you play 2 wager cards, and then you only make up enough points to make 15 points, well, the route costs 20, so now you're at negative 5. Whoops! Times that by 4, you're negative 20.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you really got to think about what you're doing before you open up that lane, because if you don't have enough cards on you or you don't pick them up, you're losing a ton of points. And the worst part about it is to play a card, you either play it in front of you or you put it in the middle and it becomes a community card. So if you know the other person's trying to do that green route, and you're not going to do it, but you've got some higher green cards, you don't want to play them. But you also got nothing else you can play. So then you're in the little conundrum of, shit, do I open up the blue without having a wager card or 2? Or do I give this guy 6 extra points for the end of the round? And it's just, it never works out, and the game...
Well, really? It's funny, if you notice, when we first started playing, we would never open a route without a wager. And now you're like, yeah, I got to get this shit out of my hand.
Yeah.
As soon as I'm getting close to 20 and you have a wager card even down, I'll just throw 1 out there And you're like, oh, shit.
Exactly.
This prick's got 20 points.
I don't even care.
Maybe you don't. Maybe I've opened them up plenty of times with 12 points. I give a shit. I'll take the minus 8 just so you can get scurred.
I agree. Because if I know I've got, especially if I've got 20, and I don't care if I have a wager, but especially when you start piling down wagers.
Oh, that's it.
And you put down a 2 and you put down a 3, and meanwhile, I'm hanging on to 30 points in my hand.
Dude, there's nothing better than having like a 10 and even a 6.
Oh,
and you go double down, and I'm like, oh, let me just pick up a 7. Let me pick up a 7 so this guy's got shit. You know, and you turn out to still the other guy. Even if you still get 21, the other guy still has a chance to score. So it kind of works out. But it's a good blocking mechanism, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one of two things you're doing on your turn. You're either building points for yourself or you're fucking your neighbor.
Something to that effect. Pretty close.
Either screwing the other guy or you're getting point or trying to get points, I guess. But they're equally as important.
There are instances where you're screwing yourself, though, a little bit, too.
Oh, all the time.
Like, for example, in the last game, the second and third rounds, I got two hands full of 7, 8s, and 9s, and the occasional 10, which is great in the middle of the game, but at the very beginning, you're not going to throw a 7 down first. So you got to sit on it, and then sometimes you sit on it, and you sit on it, and sit on it, and then it's fucking too late. And it sucks. Like, I'll give away a 2 or a 3 without really thinking about it, but I don't want to give away a 6.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it's
because it always unlikely. Happens. I give up a 5, and then I get the 4. I'm like, you fucking goddamn stupid fuck.
Not to mention, you know, half the time, 90% of the cards in your hand, you can't play them because you can't use them, but you know the other guy can. So now you're stuck with a handful of cards you can't do shit with, and because you draw second, it's really makes
you
want to
dump something first, which is super annoying.
Yeah.
But I actually, that to that point, I don't mind dropping like a 5 or even a 6 if say Scott's opened green, white, and red, and I have a blue 6 that I just don't want right now. I'll throw it down there just as like, hey, pick me up. And sometimes you do. And maybe you even score with it, but it spreads you out to where you know what I'm saying, right? You're spreading yourself a little thin.
Scott usually opens everything.
He does.
Because he's an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, you score most, but, I mean, you're taking some negative. I mean, it is not uncommon in this game to be negative 20 after one round or plus 110. And honestly, you don't even know when you look at your hand at first even. I mean, you can't even tell where you're going to be until you look to the side and you see there's like 20 cards left and you're like, time to make some moves. And either you make them or you get stuck with 2 10s in your hand like a dickhead, which is kind of my MO.
Been there.
You know what feels really great?
Winning?
When you have like 3 blues, 3 greens, a yellow, and a white, and you put the white 5 down and all of a sudden you catch 5 whites in a row and you're like, God damn it.
Mm-hmm. You know what we tend to do a lot too is we try to agree on what color is going to be the shit pile, and it never stays the shit pile.
Yeah. It gets too beefy in there.
Right? Like, Michael chucked down to 3. I'm like, okay, so that's a shit pile, right? I'll chuck down to 6. He'll chuck down to 5. And next thing you know, I pull hands. It's like, fuck.
I got to get started.
Right?
I just opened up 3 other things, though. You know what I mean? This is one of them games, like we've been saying. I mean, it's uber frustrating. There's a lot of hurt feelings. There's a lot of dejected looks at the end of an individual round. Oh, by the way, this game is scored in 3 rounds, so you do have a chance to kind of make a comeback. So,
which is huge.
But it is a horrible, horrible game. I mean, it's just, and I mean that in the way in a decent way where it makes you want to flip the fucking table over.
If you were ever fortunate enough to see one of my Overwatch videos where you can actually hear me screaming like a 4-year-old, that's the kind of rage this game induces. And it gets the blood going, and it wakes you up better than coffee.
Yeah, it's definitely it's not a game for, I mean, it is a fantastic filler game for two people waiting on a third, and we've done a couple of those so far, but this by far has become a quick favorite of mine for sure. I mean,
it definitely took Age of War right out of the mix.
Yeah, and Age of War is, I kind of feel bad for Age of War.
I still like it.
I love it.
But I mean, I'm the champ. So.
If I'm not mistaken, Reiner Knizia, he also did Age of War, I think.
Is that a true story?
I believe so. We'll have to check. Uh-oh. We'll get back to you on that one.
Check the tape.
Here's the thing, and this is kind of where I've slotted this game in my brain. I remember I was reading Nick Offerman's first book, that Paddle Your Own Canoe or whatever it's called. That's been a while since I read it. But he has a whole chapter on how to have a successful relationship because, you know, he's married to Megan Mullally. And he said one of the things you should do if you're in a serious relationship or if you're married, find at least one night a week to sit down with your wife or your husband and play cards. And he said that's one of the simplest ways to just blow off steam and relax and kind of bond or rebond or whatever you thought, whatever you think. And I'm like, yeah, I don't mind playing cards. But now that this game has entered my orbit, I'm like, if I fucking had like a wife or a girlfriend or a regular prostitute that would come over once a week, this would be the go-to for that scenario. You know, after the animal stuff and the weird whips and...
Age of War was designed by the same guy, by the way.
There you go.
Nifty.
That's what I was looking up.
Oh. I have an Android phone, so...
I literally, like, I found it as you were about
me. Aw.
Well, I was looking at his page, and it's not listed on his page. I had to
You remember that game. Time you were second fiddle, like, earlier when I beat you at Lost Cities? Oh, never mind.
Dang.
All right.
I got nothing. I can't even say
anything. I think in this room right that now, there's six or seven games by Reiner Knizia.
Probably.
Well, that Star Trek game over there.
I think there's about six or seven hurt feelings, too, but...
I got hurt feelings.
I'm getting a little bit of that today.
Yeah.
All around.
All right, so in true... Oh, man, that hurts right there. So, anywho, back to the show. So... Specifically, things that I liked about this game is I love the fact that it's three rounds because you can completely flub trying to go balls out and ruin your life, and then you still got two rounds to make it up.
Yeah, you can definitely score negative 20 in the first. The other guy can score 50-ish, and you can legitimately win 120-75
all day.
It's easy.
You'll never have a clear cut winner until the very end of the third round. Yeah. So it's beautiful in that aspect.
Yeah, even if you're losing by 50 going into the last one, I mean, there's a chance. There's always a chance in this game for sure.
Yeah, love it.
Mm-hmm. And it's simple. That's one of the things I like about it. I mean, it's honestly, it's one of those things that are so simple, you're like, you almost hate it because you didn't think of it.
Yeah, the hardest things about this game are deciding which point you want to give the other person and at first adding up the stupid points at the end because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, I got 37, but I got a minus 20, so that's 17. I got to times that by 3.
Yeah, and you know, one of the biggest... I'm not actually moving to problems yet or things I don't like, but one of the biggest problems with scoring is always forgetting to add 20 points for an 8-card route. God damn it.
Because
you get a bonus 20, and I can't tell you how many times you think you might have had it, but you already shuffled them back in, and then you lose the game by 19 points like a dickhead. Mike, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're like, shit, I think I probably won that one, but it's too late. You're already a loser.
Yeah, you're already in the second round of the next game.
Yeah, and you're now playing defense like a bitch.
Defense.
Hanging on to 8s and 9s like a little asshole. Anywho.
Nice. Oh, as I said earlier, the thing about this game that's kind of sticks out to me is this game literally is like a rule and a half away from not being a game.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. I don't mean not being a game at all, but I mean it's a rule and a half away from being a deck of playing cards.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the board is almost there as just neutral territory. That's like, you know, I'm willing to risk this 5 on the chance that either A, he won't need it, or B, I can get it back later, or B, it'll become invaluable at some point and nobody will need it because I'm trying to do this one. And, you know, the last game, it just did not work out for me.
If a regular deck of cards had a fifth suit, you could easily do that with this game.
Yeah, and there's just enough of a theme to where it feels like it's not just a regular deck of cards type of game. But the whole concept of to start a route, which is to start a succession of potential points, costs you 20 points right off the jump. So, yeah, you have five potential routes. You're looking at a potential minus 100 just to get started.
Yeah.
So to dig your way out of that, it's kind of actually, it's interesting because the whole concept of starting a route is to dig your way out of the hole. And what's the game about?
Exploration.
Excavation of lost cities and relics and so on and so forth. So it's kind of weird. Maybe it was intentional that the whole digging your way out is supposed to represent like digging for treasure. That's about as deep as the theme goes, though, because there's no powers, there's no moves.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, yeah, that's
literally
that's,
just points.
Yeah, the whole route and wager and stuff and things is basically just words at this point. I mean, it's just a,
but like I said, I don't think I've ever played another game that will put you in the negative just for playing. Like every other game, like you could sit at zero or score six for the whole game.
Chris.
Nailed it. But this game, like, actually, it punishes you just for trying to be in the game.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the longer you sit there, the less of the chance of you digging out of that hole is possible. And you could dig yourself five holes. Five holes is hard to manage with only, like, what, 60 cards in the whole game? Because each suit only has 2 through 10. There's no 2-2s or 2-3s. It's 1-2, 1-3, one of each number, and then three hands. So what does that end up being, like... 60, 62 cards?
65.
Yeah, and I mean, a round goes quick. And you, each player is going to dump eight cards at the end. So you can pretty much minus 16 cards out of that deck in terms of what's going to actually get played.
Yeah.
And even then, you may not even play that many because whatever's left on the board at the end is going to get basically lost as well.
Yeah, and sometimes there's 12 cards on the board. Sometimes there's zero because you're trying to pull from the board because I don't know if we mentioned... When the last card is picked up, the game is immediately over.
Right.
So that's a strategy all in and of itself.
That for about the entire last week, you miscounted.
Oh, dude, I'm fucking... I'm the king of, like, pulling off the top, then I'm like, all right, I got to get some of these cards out of here off the deck, and then end up with two tens in my fucking hand, like a dickhead.
The saddest part?
It's the two, like, double wagers, where I might not necessarily go negative, but... I mean, that could be anywhere from 10, 20 to 30 to 40 points. You know what I'm saying?
The saddest part is at the very end where you're like, I just need to get three cards out, and you find yourself taking junk off the board just to try and stretch the game out long enough to get your cards out. And you're like, oh, I just need one more round for that. And he took it.
God, I am usually,
damn it.
I am usually so good at timing all that, but this last game, I had the nine in my fucking hand.
You flunked.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't. I did that once where I played a 9 and a 10, and the entire time I had the 8 in my hand, just misappropriated it in.
Because you thought it was a card that you didn't want me to have.
Probably. Yep, that'll happen. So yeah.
So
things we don't like.
Things we don't like. I fucking hate this game. No, honestly, like. I would like to say I hate that you play first, then draw, but the game wouldn't work the other way around.
No, it'd be really, too easy.
It would be it would
not
be
maybe terrible. Not too easy, but...
It would change dramatically in a terrible way, I feel. So, I mean, honestly, there's really... Outside of the fact that Mike hasn't sleeved the cards yet, I got nothing I don't like about this.
Yeah.
It's quick. It's simple. It's equal parts strategy, equal parts... Fucking lucky day, son.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. If there's one thing that I can gripe about, but it's only when you're losing, though. Yeah. It only qualifies when you're not doing well.
True.
To make a Saints Row analogy, there is a part of Saints Row 3 where I forget. It's just any random urban street. There's a big giant dirt hill that leads up to a billboard that has a hole in it, and if you have the motorcycle, you could potentially jump the ramp through the hole in the billboard and come out the other end. And it just so happened the one time I found it and had the motorcycle, I was A, getting shot at like crazy, but B, that song, "You're the Best Around," was playing, and I was like, I have to do this. I have to fucking complete this now because it's just too perfect. This game gives you just enough luck to where you think like, oh, if this happens and this happens, I could do this and I still have a chance, even though I'm starting out with negative 62 points, I still have a shot. And you really probably theoretically don't. but the game tricks you into thinking that. So there's just this weird amount of luck where it's like you feel like you go off the ramp, you're headed towards the billboard, and you're like, I'm going to make it, I'm going to make it, I'm going to make it. And then you smack your face on the side right next to the hole and just slide down like an old Tom and Jerry cartoon.
I remember that day.
Yep. Or you're making it, and then all of a sudden the nose of the bike turns up, and then all of a sudden you're upside down, and you just hit the ground. So that, I feel like, when you're doing poorly, this game still has the potential to make you suddenly think like, oh, wait, this round is going to my favor. I think I got this. I think I got this. Oh, wait, no, there goes that 10. Fuck, game over. Shit. So that's not really a problem with the game. Really, the game's too simple to have problems.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically.
Yeah.
I just hate... I hate when you start out with, like, two wager cards in your hand and nothing else for that color, and you eventually just decide, fuck it, I can't give him up because he just played a wager, so he's got something, but I don't want to like get, I don't want to lose out on this deal.
Yeah, and he's not opening because he's hoping for another wager.
Right,
so and you got to hang on.
And then I fucking finally open and never get shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, I don't really hate anything about the game either. The only thing I hate makes the game better, and that's that, like, literally from the first time you look at your first eight cards, this game, 90% of this game, you spend one card away from having a something to do.
From destroying.
Yeah. It's like, I'm one card away from whooping that ass. Until there's like five cards left in that deck, you're one card. And even then, I've been one card away to the end. You know what I mean? And, yeah, and lose by five. So, I mean, having said that, it's actually, that's another thing that it makes this game super frustrating, but in a pretty good way. You know, you're just, it really, it's a good, it's probably a good Alzheimer's treatment.
I can think of one other.
Keeps you thinking and looking at colors and pretty stuff.
I can think of a thing, and actually a thing I do hate.
Losing?
No, concerning this game. It's nothing to do with the game itself, though. And it has everything to do with Target. Because Target, right before Christmas, got a ton of this game in stock in pretty much all their stores. And from what I can tell, based upon the fact that there were just tons of these sitting on the clearance shelf for like $6 a box, this game illustrates the stupidity of the average American consumer when it comes to board games or just games in general. Because they keep, you know, Target's investing all this money in board games because they're like, the hobby's getting popular again. So they sort of started carrying these types of games, and people just went back to the well of chutes and ladders and everything else that's stupid and terrible and not really a game. And I feel like Target really had an opportunity to push these types of games, specifically this one.
I think that's the downfall, though, is the lack of push.
Yeah, I mean, they put them out there, and they're just like, here it is.
Yeah, it's on the like, fucking shelf, and that's it.
Your average mom is not going to look at the box and go, oh, that looks like something. Because, I mean, yeah, I mean, they show you the game on the back, but your average mom who's just buying board games for their 9-year-olds, they don't see happy kids on the back, and they're like, well, there's no happy people on the back, so clearly no one's happy playing this game, or right, if they even looked at it at all. But Target gave up on this game super quick.
I think that like a Target or whatever, these box stores or somebody, not all of these games are, you know, Fantasy Flight games that actually, you know, make a pretty decent buck. So I feel like it's hard to market them, you know what I mean? Like, outside of, like, Kickstarter stuff or whatever, but you're still going to have, if you really want to hit that, like, high gear of the market, I mean, you need to get, needs to be advertised. You know what I mean? I never heard of Lost Cities till you told me Target was selling them on clearance. Now it's like my 8th favorite game.
Yeah, you should have seen your eyes light up when I told you there's a board game, too.
I just feel like when Target, like, they used to do, like, a game of the month thing where they would put it, like, a weird, like, end cap thing together, and it'd be like, oh, Will Wheaton from Tabletop thinks this game's amazing. You should buy it. And all of a sudden, for, like, 2 weeks, like, everybody would buy Settlers of Catan. But, like, to me, like, they got this game right before Christmas and gave up on it right afterwards.
Well, it's funny, too, because what's the other game? Oregon Trail. Now,
oh, they can't,
I mean,
give that,
they got 40 of them on the shelf. I mean, every yeah, store I've been in, I'll peruse the aisle once in a while just to see what's up and maybe see if they got an X-Wing core pack for $9 again because I'm stupid. But yeah, there's like 30 boxes of Oregon Trail, and it's, I think, like $8.99 now. It's not even, what was it when it came out? $14.99, $12.99, something like that.
No idea.
Yeah, it's like $8.99, and yeah, you couldn't.
They couldn't give that game away with a spiral ham.
The gameplay itself, I actually didn't love. I mean, the game idea obviously is amazing.
I feel like it could have been better.
Yeah, just the way it's played. I mean, it is cool though because there's some parts of it that are cool. But yeah, I feel like it should have been a more not deck builder, but more of a almost more resource management to some degree with the cards, because the resources in that game are brutally stupid.
Yeah.
Anywho, we can do that one later if we ever want to, but I don't think we need to because it sucks. Oh.
Maybe we should do it now.
That just happened.
Can't love everything.
That didn't suck.
Next week, Oregon Trail.
Just was very, very not good.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, that's just like, I feel like if Target's going to carry these games, they should try and sell them. And
right. That's what I'm saying. It would only behoove them to.
Behoove?
It would.
Because it would. They'll
have hoofs.
Well, because I feel like in a way, they can both help to make or break the hobby as a whole. Because I'm not saying I want them to carry everything, because I would rather support a local game store. But like, in a pinch, on a Sunday night, if I need a copy of Ticket to Ride, I like the fact that I can go there and get it. Like, for some reason, my copy ends up in the yard face down in a puddle of water. I'm like, fuck, we were going to play that tonight. Shit. Well, I can go to Target and get it. Stuff like that, like, it's convenient. And for like games like this that are cheaper, or games that are like more popular, to where you don't have to go to the game store to get it, like, I'd rather buy like an Attack of the Giants or something from a game store.
Yeah, but you could totally buy, you could pick this game up on the way to like somebody's house or something. You know what I mean? Like, for 10, 12, even 15 bucks, it wouldn't be a bad investment to pick up another one of these.
Yeah, if you're going to have like a stay-in night with your girlfriend, you're fucking bring a pizza, a copy of Lost Cities, you hang out and do this, and then do other
until stuff. You absolutely infuriate her and she throws you out of the house. Now mm-hmm. You're not touching butts. Maybe just stick to chocolates and TV.
That's all right.
No.
What if your girlfriend's a mastermind or your boyfriend's a mastermind and they're like, oh my God, you introduced me to this game. Let's make out all weekend.
That's weird. This is getting weird.
It's gotten weird. You're right.
Score it.
Steer back into the skid.
Yeah, I mean, well, theoretically, there was the whole, like, what we do different. But, again, I feel like there's so little to this game.
I don't know to do differently.
Well, outside of, once again,
add a six color.
Having Mike sleeve the cards would be all I would do different.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like I would only buy another copy of this, sleeve the cards, and then not play it and keep playing this one until we destroy it utterly. You know what I mean? Because I feel
accepted.
I kind of really like playing it without sleeves at all. I feel like sleeves would be...
It'd be a pain, but
I don't know if I'd love them.
It's going to get a lot of use.
No, these cards are getting worn, and I've only had the game for, what, like 3 months, 2 months? I don't even know.
We didn't even start playing it until 2 weeks ago.
No, I know, but it sat here for a minute.
Yeah, but no one ever touched it.
I'm saying is, so, I mean, I don't even know how many times we've played it. I mean, it's been a decent amount, though.
Oh, yeah.
And you really want to get them shuffled up.
Yeah.
I think for what I would do differently... This box, as small as it is, because there's two slots for the deck, and you really only need one, you could make the box half the size and probably knock $5 off the price. That, if you used like a thicker cardboard, not a cardboard like a game board, but like a thicker like paper cardboard for the... Because, I mean, like I said, you really don't use the board.
It's only to denote the colors. I mean, you could almost use like a game screen type...
Or material. You can cut the board in half long ways and just fold it up and then put it in.
Or you can have five colored cards that are slightly bigger and you just put those
on.
Or
you could do that. Yeah, like five cardboard like Arctic Scavengers has.
Right.
Just slap those in, put the deck on top or whatever, or make the thing like put the deck on the bottom and then the slot's a little bit wider on the top for the five like lanes or whatever. Cut the box size in half. Sell it for $14.95. Target may have sold more. Now the game's super popular. They're playing it in tournaments all over the place. Moms are leaving their husbands over it, and then I got a shot in the dating world. See how that works?
It's getting weird. It's always getting weird.
You still want to have a shot.
So, yeah.
And then again, just to kind of wrap that up, The game was $20-25 retail. I think if you cut the box in half or even cut a third off the box and sell it for $15, I think that probably would be a little bit better. I wouldn't mind paying $25, but maybe it was a turnoff. Maybe I'm just saying, again, Christmas time comes. This box versus, say, a large box of Monopoly, both games $20. To the mom who doesn't know, or the teenager, or even the adult who has no idea what they're buying.
What's the difference between an adult and a mom?
Let's just say you have some
could be about 5 years.
Some person is out going, oh, my friends are coming over for New Year's. I need a board game. Oh, let's see. Monopoly. Look at how huge this box is versus this piece of shit that's super small. Why would I pay $25 for this small box? I'll just buy Monopoly. I know you think it's hilarious.
I mean, it's possible.
I'm just saying, like,
theory has holes in it.
I've watched people do that while I'm standing there going, you're really going to buy fucking whatever game you're buying right now?
Maybe that's the game that the kid really wanted.
No, I'm talking about full-blown adults going, oh, we need a game for tonight's party. What do you think, honey? Let's buy this. And I'm just like, what are you doing? Don't buy that.
But you never say that.
Well, I'm not going to interfere in their relationship. Why not? Because then, you know, when she leaves him for me...
You always got to interfere. Yeah, interfering's fun.
You just told me to interfere.
That's what I'm saying. Interfering's fun.
Like I'm just saying...
Like I did at the comic shop. Like, you guys don't... Let me move over. One side, Red. Let me show you how to read these dice.
Give me no dice, DM. I'll show you how to Star Wars it up.
I'm just saying. The guy's like, no, I got 5 surge. I'm like, no, you don't. Like, you got 2 surge and you got 5 range.
That guy's like, I'm never gaming with
that. Dude, that guy always gives me dirty looks.
He's got a reason, because you just fucking ruined his Friday night.
Well, I'll ruin his fucking Saturday night, too. Going
there you
back.
Go. Nailed there you it. Go.
Snap. All right, so this game is going to exist somewhere for me between, like, a 10 and a negative 70.
That's a very wide chasm.
Depends on what your score is at the end.
Exactly. Now, I don't know, man, like... I don't know. I love games that can, I guess, really bring through the emotion. And this game is great at making me want to punch things. And it really just, like I said earlier, it gets the blood going.
It does.
So that's huge for me. So, I mean, I can easily say for the price, especially the price that Mike paid for it, for the amount of table time we've gotten here, easily 8.5.
Overall, I'd give it an 8. For tonight, though, 4.5.
For sure.
We'll revisit that again maybe on Friday or over the weekend or in a couple weeks. But, yeah, there you go.
Once your feelings mend.
Yeah, once I'm over it.
No,
I'm,
I hear you.
You know.
I hear you. I get it. I'm going to go with an 8.2 as well. And that's actually pretty high for me for a game of this type. For the short, quick one-hitter. Normally, I put about a 7.5 for a really good game that I like a couple of the other ones we've played
before. Oh, look at that. The last game you gave an 8 to was Suburbia.
Yeah.
Don't tell them my secrets.
What was the last 7.5 I gave?
Star Wars.
What? Which one?
Imperial Assault.
Yeah, that game sucks.
Then you gave Blood Rage a 6.5. Nice. You gave Belfort an 8.75.
Belfort's the bomb, Jack.
Sea of Clouds, you gave a 7.5.
Sea of Clouds. Aw.
Yeah, right?
I like that one.
You know what sucks is I'm missing a couple of scores here.
Snap.
For all of us, because I wasn't keeping track
earlier. Ask me one. I'll tell you what it is.
Draxia.
Ooh, that was a 7.5. And that was my other 7.5 for a game very similar to this, where it's a quick setup, easy to play. That one's a little more intense, though.
King of Tokyo.
That was probably also a 7.5.
I feel like a lot of yours are 7.5.
I'm even keel.
Yeah, you know Citadel's a 7.
Snap. That game sucks. Which one's Citadels? When I was at Game & Go the other day, I was actually looking at their... they had it right there, and I was like, man, I should probably pick that up.
The new one? The updated
one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to, just because I really want to play that game again, too, because it's actually fun. But anyways...
Well, there was a lot of cards we never actually played totally. With. Yeah, so totally. We just ramble a lot in the stupid
show. I know. That's what I'm saying. This game... This thing was over like 15 minutes ago. So, 7.5, I really... What did I say? Was that my original? No, I said 8. You got me in 7.5 mode.
Yeah, you said 8.
I said 8. 8. Which I think is actually a really good score. Again, I was saying earlier, this could be for the dollars I paid, which I think was like 12 or 13 on sale. Might be one of the better buys I've made in a long time.
Better buys or best buys?
Not the best buy. I mean, when you think about, you can have this game or just like one little X-Wing miniature dude. Like,
you're gonna get more out of this.
Yeah. I love my X-Wing miniature dudes, but I probably have 30 X-Wing miniatures I've never even put on the board yet.
Yeah.
Could be more than that.
Oh, wait, you're going tomorrow.
Doing something tomorrow.
Mike's going to win the two-man tournament.
Right. Dig it. It'll be him and Jeff.
I'm going to text him and see what's up. Anyways.
Yeah, so there you have it. Hit the button. You can find me at XOrsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Mike at Review and Roast. You can head to reviewandroast.com. Check out all our written reviews and other podcasts. You can find all of our other podcasts at comicroast.com. And you can find us all over. Just Google Review and Roast and Comic Roast.
Hashtag Review and Roast. You'll find it.
Yeah, we're all
Facebook and all the stuff.
We're super popular, in case you haven't noticed. So I was going to say something else. I don't remember what it was. So I'll just, have a good week, and I'll think of it for next week.
Bye.